ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 39। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द फॉरेस्ट ऑफ एंजॉयमेंट। यद इदम योगानुशासनम नवा एतद अवरुन्धते यन्यस्तदंडा मुनय उपाशम शिला उपरतात्मानः संवगच्छन्ति। वैशिल प्रभुपाद। सेंटली पर्सन्स हु आर फ्रेंड्स टू ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज हैव अ पीसफुल कॉन्शियसनेस। दे हैव कंट्रोल्ड देयर सेंसेस एंड माइंड्स एंड दे इजीली अटेन द पाथ ऑफ लिबरेशन, द पाथ बैक टू गॉडहेड। Being unfortunate and attached to the miserable material conditions, a materialistic person cannot associate with them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great saint Jada Bharat described both the miserable condition and the means to get out. The only way out of its association with the devotees, and this association is very easy. Although unfortunate people also get this opportunity, due to their great misfortune, they cannot take shelter of your devotees, and consequently, they continuously suffer. Nonetheless, this Krishna consciousness movement insists that everyone take to this path by adopting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The preachers of Krishna consciousness go from door to door to inform people how they can be relieved from the miserable conditions of material life. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. By the mercy of Krishna and Guru, one can get the seed of devotional service. If one is a little intelligent, he can cultivate Krishna consciousness and be freed from the miserable conditions of material life. Om Agni. So, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is giving the conclusion of this chapter, how the materialistic person is stubborn to enjoy sense gratification. And Srila Prabhupada gives the hint. And the pure devotee of the Lord is persistent to save the fallen conditioned soul. And this tussle is the hope for the conditioned soul. Because the materialistic person is very optimistic about his material world. Whereas a pure devotee, he is very pessimistic about his material world. But at the same time, he is very optimistic about the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, on the other hand, even though he sees very clearly Pashyanapina Pashyati, he experiences that the whole material world is so arranged to cause more and more frustration and pain. But still he doesn't learn a lesson. On the other hand, because of pure devotee of the Lord, he understands the constitution of everything very clearly and is acting according to that nature, according to the constitutional nature of everything. Therefore, he never becomes hopeless about everything, about anything. He knows very clearly about the material world, so nobody can tempt him or cause illusion. And he also knows the constitutional nature of the living entity. The constitutional nature of the living entity is to perform devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of illusion, a living entity is trying to enjoy his own senses. And therefore, because he is doing it, artificially trying to enjoy his senses, a pure devotee realizes that he cannot be happy. And therefore, he persists to bring such a conditioned soul back to this spiritual realm. And Prabhupada explains that by associating with devotees, we can actually come out of the miserable condition of material life. Yesterday, Madan Gopal Prabhu very beautifully analyzed the concept of pleasure in this material world. The pleasure in this material world, he was mentioning, is that a gap between two miseries. And the 14 planetary systems, they are so arranged, it is not that there are no miseries. Earthly planet, the gap between two miseries is very small. One can continue to experience the misery in between some gap. But on the higher planets, the gap is very big, very large. And therefore, he thinks that there is unlimited pleasure, unending pleasure. But Krishna explains, Abrahma Bhuvanna Loka Punar Avritino Arjuna, that from the lowest planet of the Patala Loka up to the Brahma Loka, there is repeated death. And one has to come back to this material world. Just like in the Shastras, when a living entity is hear about the description about the heavenly planets, he becomes very attracted. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Imam Pushpitam Vacha Pravadante Avapaschita Vedavada Rataparta Nanyadastiti Vadina Kamatmana Swargapara Kriya Vishesha Bhavulam, that those who are attracted by the flowery language of the Vedas, which give description about the heavenly planets, they become very excited to go to those heavenly planets without realizing the flowers are supposed to dry eventually. You take any flower, eventually that flower loses its fragrance, loses its texture, it becomes dry and stale. So similarly, the pleasures of the heavenly planets are just like those flowers. There is an incident mentioned in the Shastras that one great sage named Mudgala, you know, he was supposed to attend heavenly planets. He was blessed by one sage. Durvasa blessed him that he immediately attend heavenly planets. When the Devaduta came to take Mudgala Rishi to the heavenly planets, Mudgala was very intelligent. And part of intelligence is to discriminate. And he asked, so tell me, what are the benefits of being in the heavenly planets and what are the disadvantages? And the Devaduta, he gave the description about the benefits of being in the heavenly planets. How in the heavenly planets, the life is, there is no misery. You don't become old. There are no diseases. You don't pass through. You don't have to go through all the nasty activities. Because the body is not made of elements like earth, water, fire, air, ether. He said, body is made, very interesting point. He said, the body is made of one's pious activities. But what are the pious activities? Pious activities are also interaction with the senses and their sense objects in a positive way. Impious activities are the interactions of the sense object with the senses in a negative way. So even the pious credit what we attain is also matter. So he explained that in this heavenly planet there is unlimited pleasure. And then the sage said, okay, you tell me what are the disadvantages. Just like this material body, when the matter, the elements become rotten or they become old, then the soul does not want to live in this body. Even though the living entity, because of the attachment to this material body, wants to stay in this world, wants to stay in this body. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, the comatic stage is the stage of attachment to this material body. Even though the body is unfit to reside, the conditioned soul, because of the attachment, he wants to live in that body. He is forced to live that body. So similarly, that Devaduta explained, when one's pious credits are exhausted, as long as you have the pious credits, even the last trace of pious credits allows you very strong, fit body to enjoy in the heavenly planets. When the last trace of pious credits are exhausted, suddenly you are thrown out of the heavenly planets. Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. Te tvam bhokta swargalokam vishalam. Kshine punya martha lokam vishanti. When kshine punya, all the pious credits are exhausted, suddenly you are thrown out of the heavenly planets. And he explained, one has enjoyed such pleasure in the heavenly planets to come to this earthly planet and not experiences that a very miserable condition. Big enjoyment, there was a big gap between two miseries, but suddenly you are thrown into this material world, in this earthly planet. Of course, heaven is also material world. And the Devaduta explains, what to speak of the heavenly planets? Even Brahma Loka is also infested with this fear. One may not experience old age, one may not experience disease, but one will actually experience the exhaustion of one's pious credit and is thrown to this material world. And when Mudgal Rishi, he said, then what is the point of going to these planets where eventually you experience greater pain? Why? Because you had experienced some kind of pleasure. Lord Krishna explained, one is honored, dishonor is worse than death. One is already poverty stricken. In fact, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was sending Krishna as a peacemaker, he explained that why we are interested in getting the kingdom. Of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj is talking as if he's a conditioned soul, as an ordinary Kshatriya, not as a pure devotee. No pure devotee will ever say that is a pure devotee. He says, my dear Lord, because we were raised in the palace, so naturally when we lost it, there was a pain. But if somebody is born in a poor family, if he is asked to go to the forest, it does not make much difference in his life. But ours is not like that. If you experience pleasure and suddenly you are thrown into the place where there is no pleasure, it is simply misery, the experience of the pain is much greater than what if the pain experienced by the poor person. So therefore, we are interested in getting back our kingdom. That is not the real reason. The real reason is to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead to establish Dharma. So when Mudgal Rishi heard this, he said, I do not want to go to this place where misery apparently not there, but when it comes in greater context. It comes in greater quantity and quality also. He said, tell me the place where there is no such misery. And Devaduta, just see, he had the knowledge of Vaikuntha Loka, but he was stuck to the heavenly planets. And that is the destination of the conditioned soul. A conditioned soul in this material world, he understands. In fact, it is explained that the experience of the Shastras are known to most people. Either by living in this world for long, you ask any old man who is taking so many tablets, medicines, you know, the body is giving so much of suffering. He knows very well about the nature of this material body. He knows the nature of this material world. The material world does not facilitate our sense gratification. But material world tempts us to enjoy sense gratification. Just see how deceiving material world is. She is tempting us to enjoy sense gratification, but she does not give any facility for us to enjoy sense gratification. And the point is, even though living here it is suffering, he does not want to get out of that place. He persists, he is stubborn to try to enjoy this material world. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, having a material body and living in this material world is an embarrassing situation for the conditioned soul. When we get up in the morning, Devamrita Swami was explaining, when you get up in the morning and you see that you have a material body, that is a disaster. That's a great disaster that you are living in the material world and you have a material body. And not only you have a material body and living in the material world, you are stubborn to live in this world and try to look for pleasure. That is the greatest surprise. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj's father asked this question, what is the biggest surprise? This is the surprise. Everybody is seeing that everybody is living this world with great frustration. nobody dies with satisfaction. Niti Shastra explains, no living entity up until now has ever gone to the other worlds by saying, I'm happy here, I was very happy. No. Everybody dies with frustration. He has some more desires to fulfill. He wants to extend his life. In fact, the Shastra says the desire to extend one's life beyond one's quota is stopping other living entities to come to this material world, not giving them the chance. When one realizes that I've become sufficiently old and there is no point to live in this world, then he has to completely take shelter of the Lord. But most people don't do it. Why? Because of the attachment. And therefore, then the point comes about the pure devotees. They are very persistent. They don't give up hope. They want to preach Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada in many places, he talks about the frustration of preaching in this world. He says that even some of our own people are trying to stop us. But anyway, one has to continue preaching Krishna consciousness. One should try to give Krishna consciousness to others. Even if people don't want to hear, Indradyumna Maharaj was mentioning one time, they had gone for Harinam and they came back and Prabhupada asked them, how was the preaching? He said, Prabhupada, it was quite difficult. And Prabhupada said, when did I say that preaching is easy? Preaching is always difficult. But a devotee of the Lord, he persists. He's stubborn. He wants to preach. And he narrated a story that one lady, when she saw devotees chant Hare Krishna loudly doing kirtan, she was so stubborn not to hear the holy name. She took her fingers and she was holding her ears very tightly not to hear the sound. He told his story to Prabhupada. Just see that this old lady is about to die, but she doesn't want to hear the holy name. And Prabhupada, because he's persistent, he said, why don't you pull her hands? You are so strong and powerful. And let her hear the holy name. That is not pushing or force, but that is compassion. A conditioned soul will persist not to take devotional service. A Kanishta preacher most of the time, we are all Kanishta preachers. When we preach Krishna consciousness, very fast we become hopeless about people. Oh, he will never become. We make judgment. He can never take to Krishna consciousness seriously. But that is not the case with the pure devotees of the Lord. When Nityanand Prabhu was preaching to Jagai Madai. Now everybody told Nityanand Prabhu, don't go there. Even Haridas Thakur apparently in this pastime was not supporting the behavior of Nityanand Prabhu. Rather he felt, you know, this Avadhut does this all the time. He puts everybody in difficulty. And when all the people are approaching Nityanand Prabhu saying that don't go to these people, they are very nasty. They will harm you. But Nityanand Prabhu was thinking something else. He approached Jagai and Madai. And Jagai and Madai were about to harm Nityanand Prabhu. And even Nityanand Prabhu became scared. The Chaitanya Bhagavat explains, Nityanand Prabhu started running away from Jagai and Madai as if he was scared. The Supreme Lord, Lord Balaram, who could drag the whole Hastinapur in the Jamuna, he was not scared of the big Maharathis of the Kuru dynasty. Bhishma, Kripacharya, Dronacharya, Duryodhan, all big warriors. But when he saw Jagai Madai try to come and hit them, Balram, Lord Nitan started running away from Jagai Madai. And Haridas Thakur goes and informs Advaitacharya. He said, I don't know why Lord Chaitanya sent me with this person. Being with Nityanand Prabhu means you lose your life. It was great fortune for me to still survive even though I got beatings in 21 marketplaces. But I don't think that I will continue to live if I live with Nityanand Prabhu. But what did Advaitacharya say? He heard it. And he said, what do you expect of the drunkards? Nityanand Prabhu is a drunkard. He's drunk because of the love of God. And naturally the drunkards will associate with other drunkards. It's not very surprising. And then Advaitacharya explains. He said, Haridas Thakur, just wait and watch. Very soon this Jagai and Madai will dance in our kirtan. Again, that is the hope in the heart of a pure devotee. A pure devotee knows another pure devotee. He said, therefore, Advaita Acharya said, you don't worry. Very soon Jagai Madai will dance in the kirtan of the holy name. And the same conviction of Advaita Acharya came true next morning itself. Nityananda Prabhu persisted. And Jagai Madai were also stubborn to harm Lord Nityananda. But when Lord Nityananda came and preached to Jagai Madai, they became devotees. That is the nature of pure devotees. Even the Pandavas who were acting as the Kshatriyas, when before the Lord went as a peacemaker to Hastinapur, Sanjay brought the message of Dhritarashtra saying, Yudhishthira Maharaj, all this year you lived as a saint. You went around the Tirthi Yatra. Why not continue living like that, begging? Why cause this great battle and become irreligious? Dhritarashtra's attachment. So he's teaching religion so that it can benefit his sons. And then different Pandavas sent messages to Duryodhan and another party. And then the Lord was asked by who? Arjun and Bhima. He said, my dear Lord, you go and try to make peace. When Bhima started speaking to Krishna that you should try for peace, Krishna almost fainted. He said, my dear Bhim, by observing your behavior all these 12 years, that you'd look in the sky, you'd breathe very heavily, you'd be crying tears, you could never congratulate anybody. Why? Because you had such a desire to take revenge. What has happened now that you want to have a peace? Krishna had no interest in the peace. But Pandavas being pure devotees, we discussed this, Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan explains, Arjuna's lamentation is not caused because of material compassion. Arjuna's lamentation is not caused because he was scared of the Kauravas. It was the Vaishnava compassion in the heart of Arjuna. Even though they went through so many difficulties by the Kauravas, still they wanted to give a chance. That is the nature of pure devotee. Even as the Kshatriya pure devotee, they said, no, let us try to have a peace. Not even half of the kingdom. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, only 5 villages. That is sufficient for us. But the Kauravas were persistent. Dhritarashtra was persistent. And Krishna had no interest in peace. He said, I will go there so that people will not criticize me. Now also we see that people still criticize the Lord, that he, if he wanted to stop the battle, he could have stopped. And Krishna said, just to stop this criticism, I will go there. But I know the peace will not work. The battle has to take place. And then again, we also see the pastimes of Dhritarashtra and Vidur. Dhritarashtra was determined to be attached to his family members with all kinds of bad means, even though wanting to harm the Pandavas. But Vidur, being a great soul, the great devotee of the Lord from very beginning, he never gave up on Dhritarashtra. This pastime of Dhritarashtra and Vidur is so wonderful. Srila Prabhupada explains, Dhritarashtra is a typical materialistic person. And Vidur is a typical pure devotee. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, in the first canto, in this present world, there are Dhritarashtras in every house. And we need pure devotees, Mahatma Vidurus, to go and enlighten such Dhritarashtras. And Vidura's psychology was from very beginning, when Duryodhana was born, he didn't appear with auspicious signs, unlike the Pandavas. When Duryodhana appeared, it gave a clear signal to Dhritarashtra that if you continue to keep Duryodhana, then that will cause inauspiciousness to everybody. The asses were braying, the jackals and vultures were shrieking, you know, the whole sky created inauspiciousness. And Dhritarashtra became very fearful. He called Vidur. He said, what is this? Please explain to me. And that was the first time Vidur gave warning to Dhritarashtra. I said, don't be attached to this newborn child. He didn't say kill him. He said reject him. If a bad child is grown by a poor people, he can not harm so much bad. He can only cause trouble to the that localized family. But if the child is very bad and he becomes the son of the king, you can imagine how much pain he can cause. Not only his own family, because the king has influence over entire country. Naturally, everybody will be affected. So Vidura didn't say kill him. He said reject him. But Dhritarashtra would not listen to the advice of Vidura. And Vidura is the one who told that famous statement. He said to protect one's family, one should reject one person. And to protect the village, to protect one village, one should abandon one family. And to protect one state, one should not mind abandoning a village. And to protect a nation, one should renounce the state. And to protect one's own soul, Vidura said, one should be willing to give up everything. But that didn't go into the hearts of Dhritarashtra. And then during the gambling match, everyone was supporting. Dhritarashtra was enjoying. When the dice would fall on the ground, he would ask Sanjay, who won? It's amazing character of Dhritarashtra. He had great love and affection for Vidur. And Vidur saw that my brother is attached to me. And he took full advantage of that to preach knowledge to Dhritarashtra. And during the gambling match, when Draupadi was about to be disrobed, the Pandavas are about to send to the forest, Vidura spoke very heavy words to Dhritarashtra. He said, you are maintaining a vulture in your house, right in front of Duryodhan. You can imagine, Duryodhan is such a proud person. And Vidur said, you are maintaining a vulture in your house. He's going to destroy you. He's like a crow and the Pandavas are like colorful peacock. He said, get rid of this crow and get this peacock. They're colorful, they'll benefit you. But those words simply caused great anger in the heart of Duryodhan. And Dhritarashtra knew that they are right. But because of the attachment, he could not listen. But Vidur never gave up on Dhritarashtra. That was good fortune to Dhritarashtra. Even though Duryodhan insulted very badly Vidur, he said, you son of the kept mistress. Such insulting word. So Vidura left that palace. He went around all the Tirthayatras. When he realized the Pandavas have become the kings, he came back. Not to enjoy the Pandavas, just to save his brother. And again, because Vidur as a pure devotee was persistent, and Dhritarashtra as a materialistic person was still finding some pleasure in that old body. And Vidura preached very strongly. And those preaching of Vidur were so powerful and strong, and they actually touched the heart of Dhritarashtra. Previously also they would touch the heart, but Duryodhan would bring it back. He said, no, it should not stay there for a long time. But this time, Duryodhan was not there to contaminate Dhritarashtra. And Vidura spoke really strong words. He said, you dog. You can imagine if you are telling your elder brother, you dog. He said, you Grahapal. He said, you are like a dog. You are so old. You are blind by birth. And now your teeth are shattering. They are not working. Your liver system is damaged. You can't hear properly. Your intelligence is lost. And just see how powerful is the desire to continue to live. And very sarcastically called him Rajan, even though he was not a king. He said, just see how time factor has taken over you. You can see how you are fearful. Why you are rotting in this place, eating the remnants of Bhima. He's throwing food at you like a dog and you are grabbing it like a dog. How can you live here? And Prabhupada explains these sadhus, they don't flatter anybody. Sadhus are compassionate. Depending upon what is good, sometimes they are very sweet. And that is the nature of a sadhu. Sometimes they are like thunderbolt and sometimes they are like rose. They don't have one character. Oh, they are sweet. No. Sadhus can change. They are very flexible. Depending upon what kind of preaching is required. So here Vidur was not at all sweet and pleasing to Dhritarashtra. Yes, he was pleasing to the heart of Dhritarashtra. And because of the strong preaching, not only strong preaching because of the disposition of Vidur to save his brother, and because of that compassionate nature, Dhritarashtra developed determination. For what? To get rid of that place. And without informing Yudhishthir Maharaj and his own secretary Sanjay, who was lifelong companion of Dhritarashtra, he quit his home and came to the Himalayan mountains. And Srila Prabhupada explains that is the pleasure of the renounced order. And he left that place enlightened by Vidur. So therefore, such a pure devotee is when they continue to preach Krishna consciousness repeatedly again and again. And if we allow the words of pure devotees to enter into our ears, it may happen that it is not changing immediately. Just like a woodcutter, when he cuts the wood, it takes long time. Not one hit on the wood will break. One day, 2 days, 3 days, and on the fourth day of one hit, it breaks the wood. But that doesn't mean that that only was the cause of breaking. But the repeated hit on that trunk of the tree caused the separation of the trunk from the tree. So similarly, a pure devotee of the Lord, he never gives up on a conditioned soul, because he knows the conditioned soul is supposed to render devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada also like that. Last week, Radhananda Swami Maharaj narrating the story of Hayagriva Prabhu. He was persistent to enjoy sense gratification because of his condition. But at the same time, he had a natural affection for Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada had a natural affection for this devotee. And because of that, Prabhupada never gave up on him. He continued to preach. He continued to enlighten him. Even after departing from this world, that affection of Srila Prabhupada survived, stayed with Hayagriva Prabhu. And eventually, just like Dhritarashtra could give up all attachment, he could also give up. And therefore, in this age of Kali, more than anything else, if you could live with devotees of the Lord, if you could hear from them regularly, the Srimad Bhagavatam, then it is guaranteed. It is guaranteed that eventually the attachment to this material world will be over and one will act. Srila Prabhupada explains that even though Dhritarashtra, he was actually the cause of the whole destruction of the entire Kuru race. He was responsible of destroying billions and billions of soldiers. It was like a murder. Such a murderer was also saved. Why? Because he had some connection with the pure devotee like Vidur. He was responsible. But still, because he had a connection with Vidur, and he was willing to hear from Vidur. It is explained that when Vidur would come and speak very harshly, Dhritarashtra would not like it. And he would say, "You get out of this place. I don't want to hear from you." But after some time, he would call back. He said, "Call Vidur. I can't stay without him." So that was his good fortune, that he had the association of great devotee like Vidur. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he has created this society of ISKCON. And if we persist to come and associate with devotees, even though we are attached to sense gratification, which is bad, it simply causes more suffering. There is no pleasure. It is not that we enjoy. It is simply unlimited pleasure. And that's what a pure devotee does not like, we suffering. And therefore, they also persist to preach Krishna consciousness. And then, devotional service becomes easy. As Prabhupada explains, the only way out of its association with devotees. And this association is very easy. Why it is easy? That such association of the Lord gives conviction eventually in the heart of the conditioned soul to take Krishna consciousness with great determination. And at the end of one's life, just like Dhritarashtra, his attachment is much greater than our attachment. What do we have? We have nothing. But Dhritarashtra, even when he was maintained by Yudhishthira Maharaj, he had the conviction that he is still king. Just imagine how strong materially bound he was. But still, by the mercy of Vidura, he was relieved of that conditioning. And from being Dhira, at one purport Srila Prabhupada explains, he could not become Dhira. But another purport Srila Prabhupada explains, by the mercy of Vidura, he became Narottam. Narottam is the, just like Narottam Das Thakur, Mahashwaya. So that title is given to one who conquers the material desires and renders devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comment? Yes, Prasimana Prabhu.
Thank you very much for a fascinating class. Prabhuji, first of all, I wanted to know about what happened to that sage Mudgal. Finally, did he refuse the offer?
Refused, and he asked, what is the place where there is no such dualities? And sure enough, that Devadut, he talked about the Vaikuntha planets.
So he gave up that offer.
Yeah, he said, I will prepare for the Vaikuntha planet.
So then you brought out this very beautiful point that a preacher has got to be very persistent in his preaching activities and not to give up. And you gave the wonderful example of Vidura. The question I have is that very often it is not so much preaching to a person who doesn't want to become Krishna conscious, but sometimes we find that people who are already in Krishna consciousness, they, over a period of time, they become very sort of weak, or they become a little loose. So in such cases, what approach does one follow to see that they make progress? And
actually, with Dhritarashtra is also a typical example. He was not a demon. Dhritarashtra, when he saw the Vishwarup form which Krishna exhibited in the assembly of the Kauravas, he said, and Krishna gave him the vision. He said, I am blind. He said, but you can see me. And Dhritarashtra could see. And he was very happy. And he glorified the Supreme Lord. He knew Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Even Duryodhan knew Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He said, I know he is Supreme Lord. But he is favoring Pandavas. Therefore, I will not take shelter of him. Somebody said, what was the problem of Duryodhan? The problem of Duryodhan was, he was envious of the Pandavas. That was the, you know, so similarly, Dhritarashtra knew. We can take Dhritarashtra like a practicing spiritualist, but at the same time very attached to matter. And therefore in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that there are two kinds of people, non-devotees, and then those who are attached to sense enjoyment. And those who are attached to sense enjoyment can also be devotees. And because of such attachment to sense gratification, one should not associate with such people also. That's what Mahaprabhu was making a point. Because they're attached to sense gratification, the conviction to practice devotional service does not develop, like Dhritarashtra. So such people, in fact, all of us, we are Dhritarashtras. And that's what Prabhupada makes it very clear. Everybody, all of us, we are Dhritarashtra. We are attached to our own. Dhritarashtra means one who is determined to live in this body. Rashtra means body. Dhrita means determined. One who is determined to live in this body is Dhritarashtra. And we need Vidur, one who is knowledgeable about the matter, about the spiritual world, about the constitutional nature of the conditioned soul. So if we are fortunate enough to be with such devotees who are like Vidur, then by their grace, our Dhritarashtra mentality will, you know, go away from us. And therefore we see that, I remember I had seen Haigri Prabhu. This was in 89. He came to Mahaprabhu's place. And that time it was not detected that he had a cancer. And somebody was speaking, he had just come from Goa. And then when he went back to America, then we received the news that he has contracted cancer. And then that cancer became a benediction for him. His conviction became so strong. Would regularly get reports, you know, Nivrindavan news, about how he's practicing his devotional service. And he would say, I don't regret that I'm dying out of cancer. He said, I don't regret that, you know, I'll go to hell because of my sinful activities. What I regret is that I had such an opportunity to render devotional service, but I missed it. He said, I am not worried about the pain. He could not live without sense gratification, but now he became so transcendental, he could tolerate the pain. I remember he was saying that the pain he was experiencing was just like if you have this huge door and you put your finger and repeatedly close it. He said, that's how, you know, he was getting the pain. Such pain does not allow you to think of anything else except the pain. It's not very easy. But that is the power of devotional service. That is the power of association with the pure devotee. You know, he could overcome that and practice devotional service. So that is the only hope, as Prabhupada explains, only pure devotees are the hope. If we have affection for them, you know, we hear from them continuously and they target us. And there is nothing like that. If the pure devotees target us, like Vidur targeted Dhritarashtra, Srila Prabhupada targeted the Western world, and then even if you don't want, they will take back a conditioned soul. And Prabhupada had told him, he said, because you have rendered this service, he said, I will come back again to take you back. Prabhupada had actually told Hayagriva Prabhu, he said, I will come back to take you back to the spiritual world. And Prabhupada also had told those who would go to Japan to preach, he said, there was a group of devotees and Prabhupada made this point. Whoever goes to Japan to preach, he said, I will come and save them. And this devotee went to Japan to preach, eventually fell down. And then, when his time of his departure, you know, he would tell devotees, you know, he chanted Prabhupada's name and he dropped dead. Because Prabhupada came to him, which others could not see. So this works on a transcendental platform. It doesn't work on a material platform. And that's what the Shastra and Srila Prabhupada is talking about.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. I just remembered about this devotee in Japan. I don't know, I think... His mother, who was not a devotee, came to him and said, remember Prabhupada. Yeah. Remember Prabhupada at this moment. And then he remembered Prabhupada and left his body.
That story is... I don't know exactly if you can correct me. The story goes like this. I'm not confirmed, but somebody else can correct me. The story is that because he was away from the association of devotees for many years, he was very shy to come back to the temple. And he would dress strangely. You know, which was not appreciated by either men or women. He would dress very strangely. So there was no way he could come to the temple. And his mother, when he got contracted cancer, she said, I can't take you. I myself very old. Then he came to a temple. He said, let me go. At least at the last, devotees will take care. He came to the temple. And then his mother came to the same temple. And what did she say? She said, I got a dream. And Prabhupada gave her the address that your son is living in this temple. And you go and tell him that he has to come back to Srila Prabhupada. And that lady, that old black American lady who had no understanding whatsoever about Krishna consciousness movement, she came and told, go back to your guru. Go back to your Swami. That's what somebody, I don't know how far it is true. But even if it is not, but makes sense, it must be true.
You were mentioning some very, very, very important points in a lecture. One point that you mentioned is living beyond his quota is not allowing others to come into, and I did not get the word, into a situation maybe. Can you elaborate what is this living beyond his quota and not allowing others to come?
It is explained that, you know, just like in the Ayurveda system, our Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu was saying, that when you are diagnosed with Maharog, there are different kinds of disease. There are curable disease and there are incurable disease. When you get an incurable disease, then when the doctor diagnoses that, okay, you have Mahavyadi. Mahavyadi means you cannot be cured. Then the living entity should not try to take medicine and live. Try to extend one's life unnecessarily by artificial means. It may not be technically right, but the point was, I also, when I heard that, I don't have any Shastric reference. But the technical point was that trying to live when we are not supposed to live, you know, again, Shastrically, logically, one may say that in a classroom only this many students can be allowed. You know, if somebody continues to, you know, study in that same class, then other, you know, students are not permitted to live. So the point he was making was that if you come to know that your life is about to be end, you have got a Mahavyadhi, then you don't take medicines. There is a Shastric reference about giving up one's body, you know, almost like a suicide. But that is not suicide. That will not be taken as a suicide. That you go to the Himalayan mountains, you keep walking. What you are doing, you are not taking any food, you are walking, you are expecting death. Apparently it's a suicide. But you are doing it because you don't want others to take care of you. You don't want others to, you know, you don't want to be burden on others. So that is kind of a suicidal, but that is recommended in the Shastra. That is there in the Puranas. That when you know that your body is invalid, now it cannot be repaired, it's causing destruction, then you don't take any medicine. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, he was very concerned that they would not take him to the hospital. Srila Prabhupada also said that don't poke me with all kinds of needles. You know, better I just quit my body. He said, my aushadhi is, he chanted that verse, Nivrutta Tarshi Ropagya Manad, in the last 77. He said, my medicine is just the holy name and your association. Extending. He said, that conviction, you know, not wasting money, the money of your family, money of the temple, that if you understand you are Mahavyadhi, again, the doctor has to tell us that this is the Mahavyadhi, now you cannot survive. The only thing is that he has to prepare. Just like Parikshit Maharaj also, you know, this Bhagavad Katakar, they tell such a nasty story defying Parikshit Maharaj's character. That, you know, when Parikshit Maharaj heard the Bhagavad, they agree that he heard the Bhagavatam. But when the 7 days were over, Sukadeva Goswami did not stay there to perform final rites of his disciple. Oh, let me wait for your body. I will come to this mashan. No, he didn't stay there. He just preached to Parikshit saying that don't act on the animalistic platform. And he walked away from there. And what they say, that then Parikshit Maharaj built a beautiful house made of glass cage. And he ordered his, like, black cats. He said, don't allow anybody to come inside. Even one insect should not come. And then Takshak came as a fruit seller. And Takshaka, he entered inside that fruit. The story is, every Bhagavad speaker, almost everybody speaks this. I remember when we went to Shuktal. This is, there they have this Bhagavad Mahatmya book. They give it to everybody. In that they narrate the story. And then Parikshit was sitting, and then he became very attached to eating this fruit. And then he said, I want this fruit. And then Takshak came. And when Takshak came as a small insect, Parikshit saw that insect. And he said, oh, anyway, the snake is supposed to bite me. Let the curse of Brahmana come true. Let this insect bite me. But then immediately, suddenly that small insect became big serpent and killed Parikshit Maharaj. That makes Parikshit Maharaj very stupid and, you know, very materialistic, who was trying to save his life. But the Srimad Bhagavatam tells completely a different story, which is the real story. He said, let whatever this snake bird or whatever Brahman boy is created, let it come and bite me at once. Samopayatam pratiyantu vipra. But you sages continue speaking the Vishnu Gataha. Let me continue hearing Vishnu Gata. That is the character of Parikshit Maharaj. He said he didn't take any the shelter of Brahmanas. He said, whatever is supposed to happen, let it happen to me. And that Brahman, Shamik Rishi, says, let Parikshit Maharaj curse my son. So in this way, there will be a he'll contract the curse. But he says, I know that he will not do like that. Why? Because he's a great Vaishnava. And there he makes that point. Kshipta, Shapta. He said, even if he's killed or cursed or ridiculed or taken away everything from him, such a devotee of the Lord will not retaliate. That Shamik Rishi makes about Parikshit Maharaj. He said, he will not retaliate. He said, therefore my son is doomed. Because he's not going to counter curse my son. So therefore, as the Srimad Bhagavatam presents the principle of, when you realize, when you understand that now there is no more chance of living, then why focus, divert one's attention to live? Who was telling, or Gopal was mentioning, when Bhakti Tirth Maharaj heard, first time that he has a cancer, he was, from very beginning he was after tapasya, fasting. Gopal was saying that immediately he wanted to come to Mayapur and sit on the bank of Ganga and fast till death. That was his resolution. But again, devotees are not independent. All his senior god brothers and other devotees said, no, you have to live. You cannot. You have to take medicine. You have to try. So because of his god brother's insistence, he said, I will, okay, whatever they say. In fact, when they asked him to amputate his leg, he was not willing. He said, why should I? Let me dance like this and give up my body. He said, I will not. But then again, I remember Maharaj also wrote to him. He said, no, please, for the sake of devotees, if you can renounce, give up one of your leg, but survive for the pleasure of devotees. So just because the devotees were saying, he was willing to do it. Otherwise, the original plan was, he said, sit on the bank of Ganga, and he could have done it. Both are glorious, living there, sitting on the bank of Ganga and giving up his body, or following the advice of his god brothers. Both are glorious. But the point was, he was ready to do that. Why? Because Shastra recommends it. But again, we cannot do anything independently. If something happens, I say, okay, I'm going to do it. That may be a false ego also, to prove that I'm so great. So better get guidance of devotees. They may say, no, you take medicine till your last breath. Till you die, you keep taking medicine. We want you to stay here. Then we have to follow that. But about, other living entities coming, I don't have a Shastric. Stopping their coming, the Shastric references are not there. But logical principle is there. Yeah. I think it's okay. Or Shamanand Prabhu can comment. He was supposed to give a class also. If you go and see the list, his name is there. Yes.
Hare Krishna Puri, this is a doubt about, you spoke about how in the heavenly planets, even in Brahmaloka, there is this body is made up of pious credits, and when the pious credits are...
Brahmaloka, devotee said made of intelligence.
Intelligence.
Jayadad Maharaj says we don't have reference to that also.
Okay.
No. He said, I've heard many times made of buddhi.
Okay.
But he said there is no Shastri, but people quote that.
The question is that when the pious credits get completed, then they fall into the material world. The doubt is that, is it that in the heavenly planets, they never accumulate any additional pious credits? They don't do any pious activities there.
It is just like going, you work hard, earn money and go and live in a 5-star hotel. Gopinath Prabhu gives this example. As long as you have the credit, you don't earn anything in the hotel. You only earn indigestion because of eating too much. But you don't earn anything. You don't add on to your bank balance. You simply exhaust. So Heavenly Planets is like a 5-star hotel. You exhaust all your pious credit. When the last trace of pious credit is exhausted, you are pushed out of that heavenly planets. You fall upside down from the heavenly planets to earthly planet.
So is it that they are so much steeped in enjoyment that they don't do any pious activities? It's completely engrossed in enjoyment.
No, therefore Swarga is a bhoga bhumi and Prithvi is karma bhumi, where you accumulate karma, either good karma, bad karma, or transcendental, the credits. Therefore, there is even the hell or heaven. Hell you exhaust. Hell is like going to the jail. You don't develop new, you don't acquire new impious activities. Of course, in the prison, if the prisoner is still wild, you know, he can kill the another prisoner. But in the hellish planet, it's not like that. You exhaust all your bad karma. Both are bhoga bhumi. One is bhoga of pious, one is bhoga of impious. So you exhaust. So heavenly planet is like that. Therefore he said, because heavenly planet is like that, you exhaust, you don't acquire any new credit, you are thrown. So Mudgal Rishi said, then why should I live there? Therefore Krishna explains, kshine punyam martalokam vishanti. You are thrown from there.
So even in the higher than the heavenly planets, in Satyaloka and Brahmaloka, there also it is like that?
Janaloka, I think one time, you know, this Janaloka or Tapaloka. Again, the tapasya is there, you know, they are not exhausting their pious credit, but they are so conditioned to do tapasya, they don't get the benefit of the tapasya. You know, somebody, like there is some community, they love fasting. But what is the utility of fasting? If fasting is causing false ego, you know, then don't fast. In devotional service, the process of Krishna consciousness is so amazing that it gives the benefit of the process. Like performing the 64 limbs of devotional service gives rise to Krishna Prem. And Krishna Prem, when it is arose within our heart, gives rise to the 64 items of devotional service. So one is performing 64 items to give rise to Prem Bhakti. When the Prem Bhakti comes in your heart, then you continue performing devotional service to the Lord. One is done without the feeling and one is done after the feeling. So when people are conditioned in the Brahma Loka, the Satya Loka, there is a chances that the living entities in the Brahma Loka, from there they can go back to Vaikuntha planet. But they can also come down here. Therefore, Krishna explains, A Brahma Bhuvanna Loka. You can come back here. Even as a Brahma, like Prabhupada explained, there are certain non-pure devotees Brahma also. But our Brahma is a pure devotee. One is the Sampradaya Acharya. So he's not going to come back to this world. He's already in the spiritual realm. Why? Because he is rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only this place, therefore, all the demigods are also, especially in this age of Kali, they are lining up to take birth. Why? Because, you know, Mahaprabhu's mercy is there, Lord Krishna's mercy is there, which allows you to exhaust your impious credits of your previous life. Again, the heavenly planet can give you pleasures. But if you have impious credit, again, the heavenly planet, you enjoy your good karma, you suffer your bad karma. But the impression of good and bad karma gives you another material body. And those impressions, you know, you have to, it causes an obstruction of your progress. So the whole thing is all illusory. Whole thing is very confusing. So bhakti is so powerful. No, devotional service is so simple and powerful that you remove all of this good, bad conditionings, influences, and go to the Vaikuntha planet where you don't exhaust your devotional credits. Why? Because there is a service. There is no enjoyment. It is not a bhoga bhumi. It is not a tyaga bhumi. It is not karma bhumi. It is a bhumi of devotional service. And therefore, you never come back from there. And Srila Prabhupada explained, just imagine for devotees like Vidur to come here and preach. Because that is not their place. Bhavanand Prabhu told that story. You know, very mystical story. Prabhupada was told by Krishna. Prabhupada told his story with few confidential devotees. He said, I never wanted to come here, but Krishna forced me, go. And I will take care of you. You go and write these books. Now, even great pure devotees are scared and we want to live here for so many years. And Prabhupada told that story. He said, I never wanted to come to this world, but Krishna insisted, you go and write these books. And another point Prabhupada makes in that chapter, he said, we are not embarrassed to narrate that if our meeting was not taken place with our spiritual master Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we would have not come to this transcendental system of devotional service. We would have become a big business magnate doing materialistic activities. Prabhupada is talking as if he's a conditioned soul. And that small, that little association with my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, helped me. His friend dragged him. If you see Prabhupada also, which you don't have to, but see as a practicing devotee, you know, the connection is there. A friend forcing him to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur giving him that instruction. So everybody, Narad Muni's life also, he was an ordinary maid, son of a maid servant. But he saw the Bhakti Vedantas, they gave their remnants to him. He became very attached to them. You can imagine so many Bhakti Vedantas targeting their mercy on one person. You can only have Narad Muni. And he became a Narad Muni, great soul. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.